Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Glad to have you come to me for another D Word here on UK Health Radio. A couple of weeks ago, we had part one of our football and dementia special with Roy Heaney, and he got enormous reaction from all over the world. So this week, I'm delighted to welcome Roy back for the second half, and he'll be joining me right after this from Ashley Gamble.
The stairs to your bed. Thunder rolls and I pull the covers over my head. You say it's just a storm, enjoy the show. You take me to the window and you show me that it's beautiful. Never had to ask you to sing. It's just the way you put me at ease. Bone for bone, we are the same. Bones get tired and they can't carry all the weight. We can talk until you can't even remember my name. Daddy, don't you worry, I'll do the rest. Do the remembering. First guitar, and I just wasn't getting it right. You showed me how to play it, said it doesn't happen.
Ashley Gamble and Remembering, a song she wrote for her dad, Glenn. It's estimated that 300 former professional footballers have been diagnosed with dementia, and that's likely to be the tip of an iceberg. One of them is former Liverpool and Bolton player Roy Heaney. Roy, it's great to welcome you back to the D Word after D Word 300. I mean, I've got to start by saying it. We had just such an amazing reaction. I had people from all over the world contacting me, and I know the same thing happened to you, didn't it?
It most certainly did, Pete, and thank you for asking me back again. It's a real pleasure. I enjoyed the part one so much. I mean, I have people reaching out to me across from America, Australia, obviously so much, too many people over here in the UK have been in touch and been really positive, which I think for me going forward, I think that positive vibe and that positive input from people is really important, because this is not just a story or a fact about a deadly destructive disease, but out of stories like this, you know, a lot of positive things can come, and that's how I look at it. So we're absolutely astounded by the reaction, but really pleased.
Well, let's keep the ball rolling. That's what we've got to do with the people's interests. Now, I wanted to start this one talking about assumed risk. I used to cover motorcycle speedway for many years. And for people that don't know about the sport, it's basically guys on bikes with no brakes hurtling around an oval track. So obviously, there's pretty much an assumed risk that that isn't the safest of things. But the authorities that look after motorcycle speedway do things like put air fences in and make sure that the right safety equipment is worn. And in doing that, they start to mitigate that assumed risk. And I want to ask you a question, Roy. If we can go back to the 1970s, when you had that contract for Liverpool in front of you, if someone would have said at that time that as you get to your later years, you could be affected by dementia, but we will do everything we can to reduce the risk of that happening, would you still have signed that contract?
That's a really good question. I think, first of all, as a youngster, you don't really consider, if I'm honest, you don't really consider the risk. It's certainly in those days, as a 15-year-old child, if you like, young man child, I was following my dreams. So, you know, and lots of people like me in the same position, you get offered a contract to sign for this huge club who you've supported since you can remember, and so you don't mitigate or didn't mitigate that scenario then. So it's not something I thought about. It's something that as I got older, and certainly now when I look back, it's a poignant question, because this is something I think that needs to be done now. So let's go back to then. I think as I grew up and as I matured, I understood that I was going to have physical issues. I knew that after seeing ex-professionals from years gone by, osteoarthritis, it had to have joints replaced, hips replaced, knee joints. I knew I would probably get osteoarthritis in probably my early 40s. I accepted that. And as you say, that's part of mitigating risk. So I took that on board, that I would probably have to have knee or hip replacements, which I have. I had my first knee replacement in 2015, because basically the knee was shot. It was it just, you know, the osteoarthritis was in all compartments of the knee, and I was really struggling with pain and mobility. So I had a knee replacement in 2015, accepted that as part of, that comes with the territory, basically. That's what we knew. Now, what I didn't know was that
as I was playing sport at such a young age, in elite level and all the way through, I didn't realize I was damaging other parts. Probably the most important part of our body, our brain. I didn't have any clue. It wasn't discussed. It wasn't we weren't wasn't talked about. And when you look back, it's not that I didn't see ex-professionals who'd been diagnosed with dementia. Even in those days, you could see that dementia was affecting older professional ex-professionals. So I knew it was there, but I didn't tie it into professional sports at either an early age or even when I was playing it professionally in my mid-20s. It's not something that was talked about or we were warned about. So I think it's a really good question. It's something that I've spoken to lots of ex-professionals and, more importantly, people who are working in the industry now, and they recognize that maybe years ago, that question or that information should have been out there, that you were told that one day, once you reach maybe your mid-30s, early 40s, certainly 50s and 60s, there was a much heightened risk of you getting dementia through all the concussions and subconcussions we suffered in those days. So I think it's a great question. I've given you a bit of a mixed answer there, Pete. I hope that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've explained. If I was in your shoes at that time, and most people, I think they would have had exactly the same reaction as you did. I guess the question now, carrying it forward and bringing it to 2025, is with all the information that's out there, the stuff we're talking about, all the research, should clubs be doing that now? So if they've got a 16-year-old sitting there around the table saying, "There's your contract, son," should they actually be saying all this?
Yeah, I think it's essential. For some time now, the PFA, I've done a lot of work, and not just the PFA. I'm speaking to a well-known goalkeeper who played for Nottingham Forest, Paddy Gamble, and Paddy does a lot of work in regard to ex-professionals and mental health and life after sport. Does a great job, and I speak to him quite often. So they do a lot of work in regard to mental health. So they talk about mental health and supporting people. So the warning's there that this could affect you during and after your career. And there's lots of people who are championing that at the moment. But there's nothing at all in regard to there is a. It's not a possibility. It's a probability that let's be quite frank and honest here. There is a probability that if you have sustained head injuries and subconcussions during your long career, and people say it's a short career, it's not. It starts when it can start when you're 11 years of age and finishes now. Some people, let's be honest, some elite footballers are playing till 40 now, so that's a long career, and that's a lot of head knocks and head injuries. They, without a doubt, should be putting the facts out there and saying, "Look, these are the facts. We know this. We've done the science. We understand how CTE starts. We understand how it develops. These are the risks." As you've just said before, they need to say, "We will do everything in our power to make sure that this doesn't happen to you. We're going to monitor you throughout your career. We're going to put things in place that will lessen the odds of you becoming brain damaged." These are the facts. This is what we need to do going forward. So I agree. I think it's essential that this happens, and we do it now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
See, I've gone, for tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Someday you'll know I was the one, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love I must go. Go.
I'll follow the sun from the Beatles here on the D Word. Well, we're putting together our programme for 2026, which includes authors Michael Malinsky and Gina Award, ageing and neurodiversity expert Michelle Reshef, and Ruth Memenza, founder of Dementia Awareness Zimbabwe. All that to come next year. Back to this week now, and more from my guest, Roy Heaney. We talked mainly about football and rugby league that you were involved with. And that research has led to actual diagnosed cases in American football, ice hockey, mixed martial art, boxing, professional wrestling, professional rodeo, Aussie rules football, Major League Baseball and BMX racing. Now, that shook me because I had no idea about the complete size of the issue.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massive, and you know, I think one thing I've learned through the diagnosis and what's happened to me in my journey is that I've met so many different people from all over the world, from different sports, who have had very similar experiences to me, Pete. And that's American football, ice hockey, MMA, as you say, rodeo, even rodeo riding in the USA, people over there. I've met so many really good people, decent people, who have gone through the same process that I have and have experienced this awful, destructive disease that they call CTE. So it's a worldwide problem, and it isn't just professional rugby league, as you say, or amateur rugby league, or rugby union, or football. This is a worldwide problem encompassing so many different sports. And I think we have a duty to continue to spread awareness, not just for ourselves, but for others, and to make the public realise that this just isn't a flash in a pan, or it's something that just affects a few. This is affecting many, many thousands of people all over the world in different sports, as you say. And getting back to the mitigating factors, if we are aware of those factors, if we know what we're letting ourselves in for, that it doesn't let the authorities off the hook. But what it does do is we can then implement issues and implement structures that are going to not eradicate, because I don't think we'll ever do that, but we can certainly lessen the issues around head injuries and brain damage. We can get those figures much, much lower than they are today.
Yeah,
so I agree.
You know, as you say, it's about recognising it. One of the things I also looked up, which was really concerning, involves an Aussie Rules footballer, a lady, Heather Anderson, who was diagnosed with CTE after she sadly passed away at the age of 28, which brought up the thought to me that women's sport at professional and the high level, it's not really developed over many, many, many years like the men's game have. So is there a bubble of women footballers, women Aussie Rules, women rugby players, and this is going to hit in the future?
I think undoubtedly it is, and I think it already has in some forms, because, you know, I've read many articles recently and again through the people that I've met around the world. I've heard of so many young women who have played rugby, football, hockey, and some even taken their own lives at a very early age. They are being affected now. It's obviously, as you say, because sport now, thankfully, is recognising more and more women are playing games professionally, which is fantastic. I do think that the numbers will probably be less because of the awareness of what's going on. And I think the education that's out there at the moment, thankfully, they're getting more education than we did in my day. So they're learning more about it. But without a doubt, there are already young women affected by CTE, and some who you know, it's a ticking time bomb, isn't it? Some who probably won't even know they've got it until they reach their late 30s, early 40s. So yeah, that is definitely something that to watch out for. I do think there's more protection now. Hopefully that will lower the numbers. But again, you look at the other side of the coin. We are, as men and women, we're made differently anyway. We are different. We're made differently. I don't know the complete science, but there are suggestions that it could even be worse, because women's brains do, they develop differently to ours. So there could even be more damage, which is really frightening and it's worrying. But I guess we're only going to find that as time goes by. People, it's certainly something that we should be looking out for and be aware of.
Yeah, certainly. The other one I want to bring up is that a lot of this kind of, you know, we were saying right at the beginning, you're told when you're 16 that when you enter your later years, this might develop. Well, there was again, we go back to Australia, and there was Keith Titmus of the Manly Sea Eagles, who sadly died of exertional heat stroke. In 2020, he was 20. And at the post-mortem, they discovered that his brain was showing signs of stage 2 CTE, even at the age of 20.
Yeah. And there's been people younger than that. You know, there's a lad over in America, 17. He took his own life, and it was shown he had stage 2 CTE. 17, you know, 17 and 20. It beggars belief. It's something, you know, it's quite controversial. I'm going to be quite controversial, but I have to be honest. I just think this has been buried, Pete. It's been buried, and it's been brushed under the carpet by big sport for many, many years because it doesn't suit the narrative. The thing is, if our parents knew then what we know now, and the parents of young children going into elite sport actually get to know what the facts are, there will be those who will decide to drag their children out of it and look at another avenue, another way forward for their child out of sport. I don't know what my parents would have thought. I have no idea. I think that. I there was no information at all out then. It's controversial, but I really do believe that the facts have been buried for a long time. Professional sport, big sport, knew about CTA, as we've discussed in the other episode from 1932. They knew the risk, they knew the science, but it didn't fit the narrative. It would have affected sport in their eyes massively. Both financially, which sadly seems to come first, financially, and also in regard to players maybe thinking twice about going into these sports, because this is life-changing. It's life-changing and life-threatening.
To be so sure when you were walking out the door. But hey, if the world starts to get you down, call my name out loud. I'll be around. Say it takes one to know one. We were ships on fire, halfway to a blue horizon. But the brakes, they never came our way. And the world seems so insane. Some days, oh you know, if the world starts to get you down, I'll be around.
fittingly a Liverpool band, the Lightning Seeds, and I'll be around here on UK Health Radio, where all our shows are available for listen again and download from the website UKHealthRadio.com. It's the second half of our Dementia and Football special with Roy Heaney.
You know, sadly, we've lost so many good people throughout the years because of CTE, either through taking their own life or died young because of this. You know, I've had friends, I've had colleagues, Frank Worthington, I played with Frank at Bolton Wanderers for a few years. And Frank was an incredible footballer, massive talent, larger than life character, Frank, you know. Big fan of Elvis Presley, he loved Cowboys. He used to come in with this into training with his Stetson on sometimes, you know. He lived like a cowboy, amazing man, fantastic talent. And, you know, sadly, he struggled with early onset dementia in his late 50s and died far too young with chronic dementia later in life. And he's not the only one. You know, I remember seeing Bobby Robson give a talk in Liverpool on coaching, and Bobby had been a great player and a fantastic manager and coach. And, you know, I remember looking at him doing the interview, and he was really struggling to find his words. He was losing where he was in his sentences. He couldn't remember where he was. He tried to talk about the place we was in Liverpool, and he just forgot where he was. And I looked at that then, and I think I was in my middle 30s, and I thought, my God, you know, what's happened to this man? And it was dementia. And it's frightening to see that. You know, it's absolutely terrifying to see that, because you're looking into your future, you know, in a sense. You see that's what you're going to become. And both Frank and Bobby died of that, as did the great Bob Paisley, who I knew and worked for Bob. And, you know, he was the gaffer at Liverpool. And so many have passed. But getting back to mitigation, it just wasn't talked about. It was buried. And you know, like it or not, that's my opinion. I think it's been buried for years. Can't do that now, Peter, because the science is out there. Dr. Emerson Marlowe brought it out, obviously, that the film Concussion. And anybody who wants any more information, I would direct them to that, to watch that film. And also, is a book been brought out called Concussion by Sam Peters. I would read that. All the information's in there. It's a sad state of affairs. In my opinion, it's a national disgrace. I really think it is a national disgrace that has been buried for so long. But it's out now. And, you know, we can't put it back in the box, can we?
Yeah, absolutely not. I think, you know, first of all, I don't think it would be controversial for stating facts, which is what we're doing. And also, I think it's more an international and national disgrace, really. Because I want to bring up one other point, going back to the football. And FIFA fund research, evidently, according to their website, but leave care and financial support to individual FAs. This is what FIFA's website says. Now, I looked up, in football, there are 211 individual FAs in the world. If we spread to rugby, there are 134 similar organisations in rugby union and 54 in rugby league. So suddenly we've got three sports and there's 399 separate organisations trying to do something about this. Do we not just need one organisation, even the World Health Organisation? Because otherwise nothing is going to be achieved like that.
Peter, that for me, that's almost like, I can't remember the name of the person. Go back in the Bible, someone washed his hands. Jesus Christ was put in front of him and he washed his hands. That's what FIFA are doing. They're just basically terrified that the buck stops with them, and it does. The buck stops with FIFA, UEFA, and all the major authorities. We all come under that umbrella, as you just quite rightly said. Internationally, we all belong to one group. UEFA, FIFA, or whatever the sport you play at, the pinnacle of whoever runs that sport. We're not all individual sports. We're not all an individual organisations. This comes under one or two umbrellas. And unfortunately, they look at this, they see the litigation taking place. They've already seen what happened in the USA and how that cost the NFL over $1 billion. They are terrified, but they're terrified because it's going to cost them money. And that's it in a nutshell. It's all about the dollar or the pound or whatever you are in Europe. They are terrified that the book will stop with them and they're going to have to face the facts and take responsibility. They don't want that piece out. They don't want to take responsibility. So they're washing their hands of it. Oh, this is nothing to do with us. It's all to do with all the individual FAs and all the individual countries. No, it's not. We follow your rules. We follow your lead. We are all part of certainly the football side, UEFA and FIFA. Rugby's obviously different. They have their authorities as well. So to say we're all separate, I'm sorry, that's basically for me not wanting to take responsibility. And I think they're running scared, Pete. I think they're absolutely terrified of take responsibility because it's going to cost money.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely, 100%. Now, another thing I was thinking was, you know, quite rightly, those that played sport professionally are all very much involved in this. But I looked up the FA's grassroots strategy, 2024-2028, and that told me 15.7 million people across England play football regularly. That's what they say in that report. And it got to me thinking, well, yeah, we're putting all the professionals at risk, but we're not putting 15.7 million people at risk as well.
Yes, we are. And I can personally, I know when we got the diagnosis, I met a man called Richard Coates. Rich played amateur rugby from the age of 7 years of age. Seven. Played at a good level, elite level of amateur rugby, but stayed within the amateur form because of one thing or another. Lucky with injuries, lots of head injuries, ended up with a spinal injury. But Richard was playing against men when he was 13, 14 years of age because the protection wasn't there. We still allow underage youngsters to play against older. It still happens now. But Rich was playing against men at the age of 15 and 16 and was targeted in amateur, in amateur rugby, was targeted time and time and time again. Now, he's obviously part of our litigation as an amateur rugby union player. And he is 42 years of age, Pete. And he's just had a diagnosis of probable CTE and early onset dementia. And he's struggling with this every day. Suicidal thoughts, mood issues, rage problems, memory issues, Parkinsonian symptoms, very similar to mine. When I look back at my time, very similar issues to when I was in my 40s. So this isn't just, again, you're quite rightly on the ball as usual. This isn't just a professional problem. You know, we encourage people to go out there and play sport. We encourage it because we say it's healthy. Go play sport. It's healthy for your body. It's healthy for your mind. And of course it is. Of course it's healthy. And we should be encouraging people to get out there and be more active. But then we also have to propagate the issues of head injuries. We have to recognise that this is a fact. This is going to happen unless we protect everybody in the same umbrella, not just professional sport, but amateur sport is just as important, if not more so, because of the numbers that you've just said. You know, the amount of people that are playing professional sport who haven't got a clue about the risks, Pete. And it's out there, and we should be doing more. If we've got to encourage people to get out and be active, we need to protect them as well, and we're not doing that.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely at all levels. I mean, we're running out of time a bit, but finally, a story that I witnessed a couple of weeks ago. I go to my local non-league football team. There was a guy playing against them on the Saturday, had been subject to a concussion substitution, and he was turning out on a Tuesday night. And I thought, well, you know, where's the rules here?
Dear God. There are none, Peter, are there? And again, you know, I think with sport, we forget sometimes that we're dealing with people's lives and people's personalities here. It's not all about win at all costs, because sometimes, you know, we get carried away with that. And if we have an elite player, whether that's amateur or professional, they get an injury, we sit them out, and unfortunately, instead of following the rules, and for me it should be 8 weeks at least. You know, you shouldn't play for at least 8 weeks. We allow people at different levels to go back into the sport and play well before they should, because of their will, they want to play. We need to take that away from them. We have to do that for their own good. But some clubs, sadly, need those players to progress in certain competitions, again, you know, so that that team or that amateur team can maybe win a few more bob, get a few more pounds coming into the kitty to help them continue. So the temptation is to put those people back in well before they should, and it's happening all the time, Peter. So you're very astute. If that happens at all levels, again, not just at the amateur level or professional level, that's got to stop, Pete. We have to put people first, lives and brains first, to our own our own ends. That has to come first. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. It doesn't shock me. It's happening all the time.
Well, Roy, it's been a pleasure, as always, talking to you. And I hope that people listening have learned a lot, and they can also hear the passion that's coming out between the pair of us, really, on this subject. We will definitely talk about it again. And obviously, we wish you all the best. And also, we will really keep a watch out for that litigation and keep our fingers crossed.
Can I just, before we go, can I just say a big thank you to you? You know, I watch your channel now as much as I can, and the work you've done over these 300-odd episodes is absolutely phenomenal, and you have raised awareness and continue to raise awareness and meeting subjects such as this, pardon the pun, head on. But the most important thing is you are getting out so much valuable information to so many. And please carry on, because you're doing an absolutely amazing job. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Roy. Can't see a blush on radio, but you got one here. It's what we set out to do, and we will keep on, keep it on. Take care of yourself, Roy. We will speak again on the show soon.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much. Bye.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver sound of love. Walk on.
Think of a more poignant way to close this week's show than Jerry and the Bassmakers, and You'll Never Walk Alone. Thanks to Roy, always a pleasure to chat to him, and he'll be back on the show in the future to continue to raise awareness about the links between sport and dementia. The fight goes on, and the D word will be there every step of the way. That's all for this edition. Thanks as always to Angela, my production assistant. Next week, I welcome back Kitty Short from Creative Confidence to tell us about her year. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.